Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, who's in control? Who's in control of our weather? Who's in control of the storms and the winds and the rains and the ice and the snow? Is it God or is it government? We're made to believe today that calamity is coming. The drumbeat of death and misery and calamity is increasing by the day through our political mechanism, social media, and the Marxist media news today. I believe God's in control based on the authority of Scripture. I believe just as Genesis 8:22 reminds us that seed time and harvest and summer and winter, if you want to paraphrase it, summer and winter, ice, heat, snow, and cold is in the controlling hands of God Himself. And He says it will remain so until the end, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us, we're faced with the government today that's trying to bring about submission. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, government's end game is to take away all property ownership, all control of our lives, where we go, what we drive, what we do, what we spend. It's on the fast track for that. And I could bring in a number of other issues that are part and parcel of that, including the Fed coin, which would be electronic money, including the control of where we go and how far we drive based on electronic or electric vehicles. Ladies and gentlemen, California has already made the law, put it into effect, that only electric cars will be allowed in the state of California after 2030. That's just a few years. And now, ladies and gentlemen, they're pushing for electric cars, and now they're saying in California, because of the power grid failures and the lack of electricity, that you need to not charge your car as often. Now, I've got an article in my hand that's scary. California extends Flex, that's F-L-E-X, Flex Alert, warns drivers not to charge their electric cars. Now, let's just pause a moment. By the way, it's dated September the 4th, 2022, brand new. So you've got an electric car. You're saving planet Earth. When those batteries go out, you spend $25,000 to $30,000 to replace them. The replacement value of the batteries at that time will be more than the value of your car. So if you buy an electric car, you're buying a throwaway vehicle. And in buying a throwaway vehicle, and now they're saying, ladies and gentlemen, that you can't charge your car. This article says, authorities in California extend a Flex Alert telling residents to conserve energy, including not charging their electric vehicles on Sunday afternoon and all afternoon evenings. The California Independent System Operator, the manager of the state's power grid, issued the statewide Flex Alert from 4 to 9 p.m. Residents urged to set their thermostats to 78. Or higher, avoid using major appliances, avoid charging electric vehicles, and turning off all unnecessary lights. The article says additional Flex Alerts will likely be cold as heat will only intensify through Tuesday, with little relief from triple-digit temperatures seen over the next several days, the operator wrote. Goes on to say the president of that operational system told local media this weekend that September 1st saw the highest demand power since September 2017 in California, adding that it's a dress rehearsal for what's going to be much more significant stressed conditions here as we get into the heat of the future days. In recent years, California grid operator has used Flex Alert and made similar statements calling on residents to hold off on charging their electric cars. The article further states in headlines, electric vehicle mandate. The Cal ISO issued a Flex Alert targeting electric cars. The move prompted the citizens to a regulation that was passed recently in California Air Resources Board to phase out the sale of gas-powered vehicles in favor of electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids. If we can't do these things today, how are we going to do them when everything needs to be electric? One driver asked the question. Unless you have a home charger, it's an absolute disaster. An electric vehicle owner said the electric plug-in station for your home would be needed. Ladies and gentlemen, let me pause for a moment. If you have an electric car and you want to have an electric charger assist charging from your home, that home's got to be especially wired with the power, the voltage, and the wattage to handle charging a car. Otherwise, you can't run anything else in the house while you're charging your vehicle. And even at that, it will take about 24 hours to charge your electric car. And yet, we're expected to have an electric car in every garage, at every home, and let the government then tell you that you can't charge it. And that's where we are. We're on the fast track for that, with total government control over where you can go, how long you can stay, the mileage you can drive, and the mileage, the distance will be allocated based upon the amount of distance that car will take you with a full charge. I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, with a question or comment, please.
Good morning. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Glenn, one of our four sons. I'm delighted to have him calling. He let the cat out of the bag, as it's called. I'm celebrating. I'm still under 100, and I'm thankful to be alive and celebrating it, and thankful for a wonderful, wonderful family that loves the Lord. Glenn, what do you think about the conversation today?
Well, when you apply common sense, it doesn't make any sense, and that's the problem we got here. Remember back when Obama was in office, and I believe it was Nancy Pelosi. She says when the Obamacare package was coming through, it was thousands of pages. She said, well, you have to pass it to see what's in it. The mentality that you would push some legislation through on the American people, and then later we'll find out what it's all about. And that's about how much sense it makes. It's idiotic. In the 80s, I believe it was in the 80s, they came out with electric weed eaters and electric blowers, electric trimmers, I think even electric lawnmowers. And about 9 months, 12 months later, these items were on the curb. Why? Why? Because the batteries can only be charged so many times before you're going to have to buy new batteries. I'd bought a Makita battery-operated drill from Sam's. I think it was $100 for the drill and a couple of, bits and two batteries and a charger. So at about the 3-year mark, the batteries just wouldn't take a charge anymore. So those batteries were over $100 each. You get what I'm saying? It was cheaper to buy the whole set initially because they want you coming back for the batteries. I took it to a shop in Jacksonville, and they said, oh, yeah, we rebuild those all the time. And because I had the drill with me and the old battery. And he goes, that'll be $129. What, $129 for the battery? And this is a rebuild. It's not an original Makita battery. So I went, holy smoke. I remember the fellow looked at me. I was wearing a suit and tie. He goes, well, the fellow with a Mont Blanc pen in his pocket shouldn't have a problem paying for a battery. And I said, I tell you what, here's the drill. Here's the charger. Here's the old battery. I'll bring you the box when I come back through. He goes, what? I said, I'll go buy a brand new drill somewhere for $100. And I did. I think it was $120 for the, what's the yellow one's called? DeWalt. I got the DeWalt 2 drill pack for $150, 2 batteries, and one was an impact, one's a regular drill, and the charger. Do you see what I'm saying? get ready to buy a new car because you can't afford with depreciation on that car. Why would you buy new batteries for it? Why? The funny video of the fellow with the Tesla out west, and he had a gas can in his hand. He needed to ride to a gas station, and they said, it's a Tesla. It's electric. It doesn't take gas. He goes, well, he pops the trunk, and there's the Honda generator. He goes, I need gas for the generator so I can continue to charge the car. I'm not going to make it to another charging station. You see the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your trains, the huge engine on the train, okay, is a diesel electric. It has good power because it's electric, but it's being operated by a diesel engine. It's interesting. And they stay in service for probably 30, 40 years at least. A buddy of mine that worked for the railroad said one that's 30 or 40 years old is still worth $1 million. But it's a diesel electric. It's not running on batteries, is it? California has shot itself in the head to think that by 2035, everybody has to be an electric vehicle. You mentioned it recently about if they were to have some sort of episode. Well, Texas, 2 years ago, I think, 18 months, 2 years ago, Texas had the freeze. Okay, they lost power. You couldn't charge your car, could you? Where are you going? Nowhere. Anyway.
Glenn, in Texas, with that event that you're speaking of, it was not only the power was out and you couldn't charge it, but with the batteries at a certain freeze level, the batteries will not run. The batteries will not allow the car to run. And you touched on the cost of it. Here's an article that's very interesting, Glenn. A Florida man went viral after he posted a car dealership quote showing it would cost him nearly $30,000 to replace the batteries in his electric vehicle. Rob O'Donnell posted the quote, obtained from Roger Dean Chevrolet in Cape Canaveral, Florida, on Twitter last week. The quote includes the cost of the battery, nearly $27,000. The batteries, nearly $27,000. The cost of labor, $1,200, and taxes for the repair, more than $1,700. In total, it would cost O'Donnell $29,842.50 to replace the batteries in his 2012 Chevrolet Volt. The car itself is worth about half that amount, he said. The absurd cost led many social media users to question the authenticity of the quote, but the car dealership confirmed that the quote is legitimate. This is an estimate for it. Listen to this. It caps it off here, Glenn. The car dealer said this is an estimate for a 12-year-old vehicle out of warranty and the battery that is extremely hard to find. That is, listen, the dealership saying the battery for that car is hard to find or to even get due to the old technology of a 12-year-old vehicle. The dealership does not set battery prices, the dealership explained on Facebook. But a Recurrent Auto explained the cost to replace the electric vehicle battery can still exceed $20,000 for most vehicle models when labor and other costs are then calculated on top of that, end quote. So, Glenn, the problem is, let's say you spend $65,000, $75,000 for a Tesla or another electric vehicle, and you drive it for 6-8 years, and the batteries go out, the batteries, the labor, the taxes to put it in your car, then is more than the car is worth in total. What do? You have cars that become cast-offs, throwaways, garbage can, no value whatsoever, and yet we're being told by the authorities that we need to save planet Earth by having an electric car, when the government's going to tell you how long you can drive it, where you can drive it, and the cost of it will put you in the position that you cannot afford to own the car? Is that where we're headed? What are your thoughts on that?
It's disposable. The obsolescence is built into every vehicle. They don't want you to hold a vehicle for years. They want you to get a new one. All right? They built it, even the gas and diesel-powered vehicles. They want you to take it to the dealer. They want the dealership to work on it. They don't want you to work on it. That's why they keep inventing new nuts and bolts, so you have to buy special tools in order to take those nuts and bolts off. The people who think they're going to have an electric car for years and years and years, they're fooling themselves. Now, if you were to do some sort of a conversion kit to make it electric but running on an engine to charge it, maybe. But all the batteries, no. And then, of course, Biden had to step in and shut down oil leases and stuff, jack the price of fuel up so that you'll be forced into buying electric vehicles. How do you like that? Lithium for the batteries that are doing what's being done now in electric cars. The lithium is hazmat. It's hazardous to mine. It's hazardous to work with. It's hazardous to dispose of. It costs more to manufacture an electric vehicle than it does a regular fuel-operated vehicle. Listen, where do you think the plastic comes from in the vehicle? Maybe oil? Yeah. What do you think that the politicians are heavily invested in? Lithium and the microchips and electric car companies. Isn't that strange? You can go online. That's actually an app. You can type in the politician's name that shows you their stock trades. Right after Nancy Pelosi got back from Taiwan, okay, remember there was a big hoopla about China supposedly was going to shoot her down? No, come on. It was all about Nancy going over to Taiwan because our government has elected to spend our money on promoting the chip manufacturers, okay? Well, you know, as a side effect of that, when she got back, the stocks started going up. Well, good thing for her that her son was heavily invested in those microchips in Taiwan. Do you see what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Follow the money. Follow the money. When you apply common sense to this, people should scratch their head and go, why does it feel like I'm being squeezed and corralled into doing something I don't want to do? You are. That's exactly what's
Absolutely.
Going on.
Glenn, I'm thankful that you could call. Would you hang on? Let's continue this conversation.
Sure.
But I believe we have Brother Davis on the line. Brother Davis, go over the question or comment, please.
Well, happy, happy birthday, young man.
Thank you so much. I am thankful to have lived another year. God has been gracious and good, and I'm delighted to be here today. Even on a birthday, some people say, well, you're not supposed to work on your birthday. I can't find that in the biblical text, and so I'm working today.
Well, that was certainly one of my intentions that I had in mind and in my heart. I certainly did not want to see you working on your birthday, but the dates kind of slipped past my memory. I was thinking the 8th instead of the 6th. So you got away from me this time.
Well, the 8th, excuse me. The 8th happens to be a special day also. That's anniversary. My bride's put up with me for less than 100 years, and so that's anniversary date, and I'm thankful that God has allowed us to live and serve him for all of these years.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I certainly hope that you will have a blessed birthday and a very gracious and blessed anniversary with mother. I call her my mother. Amen. I always will. Amen, and I just thank God for you both. Amen. But just a little comment on what you're saying on today. I'm afraid, Dr. Youngblood, what's going to end up happening. When it comes down to the bottom line, we're going to have landfills that are full of scrap iron or cars that are worthless, that they're just going to have to haul them off to the landfill. And then you're going to have batteries out there that's leaking chemicals back down into the earth and destroying the water table and all these other different things like that. So they already have us in a mess, and I'm mighty afraid it's going to even get worse. But I want to put a scripture in here today because we have to realize that no matter what we think, in spite of all the times that mankind keeps stepping over the boundary line, God has to shake him up by way of remembrance from time to time to let them know that he is still God. From the book of Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8, 9, and 10, I'm just going to read this shortly. God said, "Remember this and show yourselves men, understand that you are nothing but a man." And he said, "Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." That tells me that God wants man to know plainly, it doesn't matter what you try to do against what I want done. I am going to accomplish my will, and my pleasure is going to be done. So no matter how you try to override it, put prayer out of schools, even right now, I'm so disgusted with seeing all this Halloween stuff in our birth month. In a few more days, I'll have a birthday coming up. And I would rather see them do that. I don't want to see it at all. But if you're going to do it, reserve that for October. I don't want to see it right now. It's just so disgusting. But we have to know and understand, Dr. Youngblood, in spite of all, God is speaking loud through his word, and he's still telling man, in spite of what you do, I am still God, and I am still in control. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your comments. A good footnote on what you just said. Glenn, I'm looking at an article. It says, West Virginia coal miners help stranded Washingtonian with dead electric car. A Washingtonian who was stranded on their way to Davis, West Virginia, found some unexpected helpers, coal miners. The resident who was not identified was headed to Davis for a getaway weekend that was around 170 miles from home. However, the car broke down right in front of a coal mine just several miles from Davis. Five coal miners were called to help the driver afterward. Someone called one of the foremen, called the foreman, and told him a car was broke down in the middle of the road to try to get it hauled off. He went to investigate and found out that, indeed, the car had run out of juice coming from D.C. to Davis for a gateway weekend. He then went back to the mine, got the guys, pushed the car to the guard shack so that they could plug into a charger. The miners pushed the car to the guard's booth because they couldn't pull it. With all the plastic underneath, there was nothing to hook it to. So here's five coal miners pushing a battery car to the coal mine to charge it. If you look closely, and they had the picture, you can see the stockpile and load out in the background. This just shows that coal miners are good people and will go out of their way to help anyone or even a foe. More than half of the Americans say the concern about a full charge is how long it will take them and if they can get to where they're going. Besides the distance of a full charge, charging logistics are also a big concern for all potential American buyers for an electric car. And one of the things that was kind of a footnote on that was right comical, Glenn, when the coal miners got the car pushed off and finally got it charged, they gave the owners of the car a tag that says "Help by a coal miner" or I'm for coal. They were simply pushing the fact, and Joe Biden's trying to cut down all coal mining or shut down all coal mining in America, and yet it was a kind of an ironic thing that the electric car wouldn't run because it was dead and the coal miners helped it. Then I'm looking at another article, Glenn. Thousands in Colorado locked out of their home thermostat by Xcel. The bottom line is, Glenn, as I look at the variety of articles about the subject, the government in some states, in this particular article, it's talking about the state of Colorado, I believe it is. Colorado has the thermostats that are controlled by the local municipality that's putting out the power. And when the heat extremes come, they're shutting down the thermostats in the individual's homes. You go to your thermostat, you have no control over it. You can have an electric car, and you can't charge it. Where are we headed with the government in control of where we go, how long we stay, what our homes are heated like, et cetera, et cetera? Are we looking at a scenario that will put the individual out of total control of his life and totally dependent upon the government?
Absolutely. It's by design. They want to control the energy, whether it be gas, diesel, natural gas, propane, electricity. And then the more control the government has, the more control the government will take. You also have the electric meters on the house now that are they don't come out and read the meters. At a certain interval, they either send a message to it, and it's wireless. It's like a Wi-Fi connection. And it more like a cell phone that's built in, but if you understand better, almost a Wi-Fi connection. So they can tell what you're using and consuming. They can, hey, you didn't pay the bill on time? Remotely cut it off. There's nobody knocking on the door. It's just off. Okay, you're consuming too much electricity and the grid's, overloaded. They just turn you off. In Jacksonville, we used to call them brownouts, especially during the summertime. It would overload the system. But you're giving the government more and more and more control. And so when they turn it off, you have to beg and plead with your government to let you have what you paid for. Interesting. One thing you didn't touch on, and you might have that on the list, the tax that will be on the electric vehicles per mile, because you're not paying a gas tax for or diesel, you're not paying a fuel tax. So not only do you pay taxes on the electric that you pumped into the car, you're going to get charged taxes on the miles you drive. I mean, listen, I test drove a Tesla. The Model S has electric motor front and back. 0 to 70 was like 3 seconds. Very, very quick. All right. It's an expensive toy. when we got back to the dealership, I said, oh, that's a very impressive car. I said, so what would one of these cost, like, used? He had it as a demo. What kind of a discount could you get? Oh, well, this one would be about $145,000, you know, it, with mileage on it. $145,000. I said, I thought you said you had a $70,000 electric car. He goes, no, the little one over in the corner, okay, that's just got one electric motor in it, that's $70,000. I said, well, how much is the SUV with the gold wing doors? He goes, those start at $170,000. Wow. Follow the depreciation after that. You bought a toy. You bought an electric toy, and then they'll be able to control whether or not you get electricity for it. Okay. Hey, have you seen the line of electric cars that they have at some of the repowering stations? They call them supercharged stations. Okay. One place out west, there was 25, 30 cars lined up waiting to get electricity.
Absolutely.
But it is ironic. Yes, sir. It is ironic that the coal miners had to push the other one and then get it charged up and give them the bumper sticker. It basically means I was dumb for buying this car. I have a lot of money, so I can afford it. God bless them if they want an electric car. But it's a toy. It's a golf cart. If you've ever owned a golf cart, you know the batteries in that joker, about six of them, they're expensive. They're somewhere between $150 and $200 a piece. And about 3 to 5 years, you're buying a set of batteries. Okay? So on the front end, you can brag that you have something electric. You don't have to go to the gas station. On the back end, you're at another dealership or a store trying to replace the batteries. Hopefully they have one for you. Okay? Now, the guy at Tesla, because I asked this question right up front about the batteries, he says, well, the whole battery system doesn't go down. They can replace individual cells. You understand what I'm saying? So I guess they lift the body off the car or something because it's up underneath it. It's about a 6,500-pound car, by the way. It's very, very heavy. Car carriers don't like them. They can't load as many cars. They're overweight. It's overloading the car carrier. But anyway, they can replace individual cells, so it's not, you know, you may not have to pay the full $30,000 right now, okay, just $1,000 today, but we'll see you about 30 more times. Get it?
One of the things, Glenn, that I see taking place is the ultimate control of our futures, control of where we go, where we drive, who we see, who we talk with, under total domination and control by the government. I believe we're watching the forced submission by our authorities, submission to government rather than to God. Glenn, we've got about 25 seconds left on the broadcast. Would you give words of challenge and encouragement to believers, Christians, that it's not doom and gloom, but we have someone that we can look to for authority and for strength?
Absolutely. When they tried to arrest, I believe it was Peter, for preaching, and they said, don't preach in that name of Jesus anymore. He says, better to obey God rather than men. Anytime man's law gets in the way of God's law, we should obey God. My Bible says that we're supposed to look up, for our redemption draws nigh. When we see the problems of this world going on, hey, don't focus on the problems. We already have the solution. It's Jesus. It's a salvation in the name of Jesus that we have. Okay? We get early retirement.
It's amen.
We're going to heaven. All
that's right.
This is still going to be here. I'm leaving it all. You know,
yes.
I think maybe just change the will to Jews for Jesus, because, you know, some of those folks are going to need my stuff. I'm not going
to. That's right. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.